Although you all say you'd like to thank the Lord for another opportunity, thank the young man for being willing to get up here and sing that song. Blesses my heart when I see a young individual take part in a service. Without our young ones, we don't have a church. So I encourage our young ones where I go as much as I can to take part in the church, to be a part of the church, to listen to the Lord and follow after the Lord, because the Lord will not lead you wrong. I know you want me to sing that song, and I may sing it later on, but I got another one upon my heart, and it's been upon my heart and mind all day long. I just ask y'all to pray for me tonight, and I just want to get self out of the way for a little while and let the Lord use me. What you see before you, I've not always been. I once was so broken and battered by sin, and the story that I tell you is such a marvelous thing. How love brought together a beggar and a king. I've traded for riches the rags of my soul. I gave him the pieces, and he made me whole. I brought to him nothing, and he gave me everything. He found a beggar, and I found a king. You said so hard for you to believe. Well, all I can say is that I agree. Of all the love stories this world has ever seen, there will never be a greater than how Jesus loved me. I've traded for riches the rags of my soul. I gave him the pieces, and he made me whole. I brought to him nothing, and he gave me everything. He found a beggar, and I found a king. There's an 8-year-old boy in the back seat of an old, ugly, brown, four-door Buick car. That's where I made peace with the Lord. Don't have no car now, and it's long gone. There's still a spot on the road there, up the road from the church, that's got a little bright spot on it. And every time I go over, the Lord blesses my heart, and it just blesses me to know that I'm a child of a king. And I thank God that he chose me to be one of his children. But I'm thankful tonight to be here. I'm thankful that the Lord blessed us with a safe trip down here. And I'm thankful for your pastor, Brother Ron, and his wife, Sister Rhonda. Just don't know what to mean to me. I can't explain it. But I'm thankful for him tonight, and I'm thankful that the Lord placed him in my life and my path and on this journey in this world, and been a help to me, and I'm thankful for it tonight. But as I get into this message tonight, and as I try to up tonight, and it's been on me all week long since last Sunday, is what is my life? That's the question I'm going to put forth to you tonight, is what is my life? And I want you to ask yourself that question tonight. What is my life? Way over this preacher with his two types of life. There's a fleshly life and there's a spiritual life. I want us to understand something tonight that we've got to be able to separate them. If we cannot separate them, then we're not going to get nowhere with God. Where do you get that thought from? Very familiar with me tonight.
I'm going to read one verse here in James, and I've got a few more places marked here. I'm trying not to wear your patience tonight. The wife has kind of aggravated me the past few times I preached on Sunday night. I can't shut my mouth, but like I told her, as long as the Lord keeps feeding, I'm going to keep opening and letting Him feed me. But in the 14th verse of the 4th chapter of James, it says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away." You see, no matter we live to be 100, 150, or 50 years old, our life span is very short. I see it very important that we should live it on the spiritual side for God. Come pray on the spiritual side for God and live for Satan. But brother, I'm a child of God. I can't live with Satan. I beg to differ. There's only two masters that you can serve. One is God and one is Satan. And if you're not serving God, then you're serving Satan. As I begin to study and prepare for this, I just prayed and asked the Lord to give me different things to go to, different places to go to, just whatever He wanted. We all love to talk about Peter. Peter's going to be one I'm going to talk about tonight. You know, we see Peter, he lived on the fleshly side quite a bit being an apostle for God. But he also lived on the spiritual side. But we got one count where he's in the ship and then going to the other side. But Jesus told him to go on, and Jesus come walking in the night, didn't he, on water? But all of them was afraid. But we see Peter was the only one with enough faith to step out the boat and walk towards Jesus. But we look at Peter in another way as well. Right before the crucifixion of Christ and all those others go, we all know how it ends, we all know how it goes. But when we look, we see Peter here. But Jesus told him that before the cup was poured, that Peter would deny him three times. But I want us to look at this right here. But Peter was the apostle of Jesus Christ. Why would you do that? Look at everything that he went through. Look at what the apostles went through. But guess what? They stayed right with him. Now the same thing we need to do tonight. But in the 30th verse of the 14th chapter of Mark, it says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in the night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." But I want you to look at this. Even though Peter denied Jesus three times, I want us to look at this right here. In verse 66 in that 14th chapter. It says, "And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids in the house of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, And that also was Jesus of Nazareth." Now how was this woman know that Peter was with Jesus? Now the point that I want to get out tonight, what is your life? What is your life for Christ tonight? What is your life for God tonight? I don't want to get into that question in your face. But also two people can see that issue of what your life is for whether you present a fleshly side or you present a spiritual side. Alright, I hope and pray tonight that we're able to present a spiritual side of God out of this strange country, out of this world, and not just on Sundays in church. To where a lot of us like to do. We like to show our spiritual side when we come to church. We want to, I think it's one of these things. Peter did. He said, But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And when he went out into the porch and the cock crew, I believe when the cock crew the first time they come to Peter's remembrance what Jesus said. How many times is when you hear certain things that the Lord is up and stones to make you, how that it don't come to your mind? But he says, and the maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. Now how in the world would this woman know who Peter was? You go back to Acts chapter 2, and we'll turn there just for a minute. Didn't have this mark, but I don't know where it's at. And it says, in the 14th verse of the second chapter, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And if we go back into the Old Testament and you read the prophet, the prophet Joel, you'll read the exact words here from verse 17 on down there. There's several of the verses there from the prophet Joel. But what I wanted to get to about Peter there, on the day of Pentecost, they all come together as one mind and one accord. Amen. Now, the only way you can come together as one mind and one accord is the church of God and the Spirit. Amen. So you see, Peter come together with some of the apostles, and he began to speak loudly and tell these people about Jesus Christ and him crucified. So begin to tell them about his Savior. A lot of them. See, I believe he began to speak in languages that he wasn't used to speaking. I believe people conveyed, was able to convey the message of the cross, if you will, tonight, or the message of Jesus Christ for every single individual that is there. And what they do, they begin to believe. Well, let's go back to this maiden here. She kept looking at Peter and she says, I know you. The only way she's going to know him is the life that Peter lived in front of his later, just like he experienced. That's the thing I want to get to tonight. That's the main point I want to get to tonight. That people look at us and people look at you because of what you are. That's what it's like that you can stand in front of them. That's what they're going to see tonight. How do you know that? I went to Sycamore Liberty Missionary Baptist Church several years ago now. Brother asked me, Pastor was over at the time, asked me to come over and preach their homecoming service. I went over there and had to walk in and had a guy up front and sat down and kind of looked back. I seen several people out of the crowd and I went to high school with. The first time I saw the crowd, the first thing he asked me in my mind, he said, boy, they're not going to listen to you, so they know how you live right here. That was trying to get me already. But as I prayed to the Lord, the Lord placed his loving hands in our prayer and told me it would be alright. But guess what? That was not alright. I put my faith in God that day. But thanks be unto God, some of their children got saved that morning. Not by anything that I've done, but what God does. But to see the way that they looked at me, and how I know they was looking at me because of the way I used to live and what I conveyed to them in my life. But I'm thankful tonight that the Lord granted me another opportunity to tell them there's something different about me. But at the service was over, the young lady came up and she looked at me and she said, I never thought she had been doing this. I said, me either. But you see, the Lord granted me another opportunity to prove another point to them. And I'm thankful for that tonight. But you see, if Peter's going back to Peter here, I believe the life that Peter lived. Yes, he was the one that loved to get away from God a lot of times and denied. However, he was also the one that he was right, he was right. You see, he lived in this spiritual life. And I believe that's how this man recognized him. He recognized him because he was the one walking with Jesus. Even though he tried to deny it, he knew it.
That's right. Amen.
Same goes with us today. Even though we try to deny it, they know it. You know what? I want You know, I found with the Lord when I got here on the way here and stepped through, Lord, why do you want me to preach this message there tonight? They got a man perfectly capable, they're capable of preaching this message. Why me? Just do it. I don't know how you talk to the Lord, but I talk to the Lord in all his voice a lot of times. Lord, really? But he said, just do it.
Amen.
Just follow after me. And that's what he says over here in John. Bible teaches us that he said in Peter, I can't remember exactly what he said, I now all had marks, I don't get swimming anyway, but the Lord take care of her. Hey, did you say pick up your cross and follow after me? Hey, that Lord, we're supposed to pick up our life. I follow after him if you're okay, no? Our life is not our life. It belongs to God. The sooner we figure it out, the better off we'll be. It took me a while to figure it out. But once you get your legs cut out from under you so many times, you begin to realize that. You begin to think a little bit. And I believe that's what Peter's done to say. Even though he wanted to deny Christ, as famous as we are today, even though we try to be spiritual and call it that close to God, we only want to grow and be able to meet him. But we will not be put in a situation. You know, you hear a lot of times people say that the Bible says that the Lord won't put no more on you than you can handle. That's not what the Bible says. I can't remember exactly what it says tonight, but it says he won't put no more on you or offer you a way out or a way to escape.
Even though you're living in pain, the Lord's going to offer you a way out of it. And it's up to you to whether you take that way out and you keep going into the same thing.
How many of you have given to that thing? I was tempted this morning. First thing, as soon as I got up, walked in the kitchen, give me a cup of coffee, turned around, whether it was three very good, give me some milk for my coffee, stepped on a red lawn, got stung on a big toe in the right foot. Now I'm throwing my foot aside. Good excuse to stay home, huh? Lord, it hurts. I can't walk. I'm off on this side now.
Little things like that. I mean, you say, what did that do tonight? What is playing the devil of fiction? Is anything that's down to you? How to steal your joy in serving God? How to do it? How to never steal your joy?
Then that's a blessing you lost out on.
Second Peter here, when he denied Christ three times, Peter lost out on blessing.
I believe after that first time, when that caught through, I believe he ran and wept bitterly. Why did he weep bitterly? Because Christ done told him that he was going to deny him for three times. And he did. Just like when Christ tells us something, and we do.
For when the devil tempts us and puts that temptation in front of us,
and we fall to it.
You know, go back to that Pharisee and post, and you know, we look at it a lot of times, and I know I used to look at it like this, and say, look at his brother and sister over here, what they're doing. But they know they shouldn't be doing that.
And then a little thought comes in your head, kind of like that Pharisee, and says, boy, I'm glad I'm not like you. I'm glad I'm not in that situation. Then what happens? We'll run around. You see, you look at brothers and sisters because they're failing and they're falling and they fell flat on their face. And we might be eating and teaching a little bit because they're over there on their face. Because they're doing what they're not supposed to be doing. But how many stories after that do not get you to fall into the same place? Where did you fall? It is but a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. My life is going to be short. What do you mean? It's going to be short. No matter how long I live, no matter how long I live, no matter how long you live, hey, your life is going to be short. That's the best thing to do is live your life for God. That's the best thing to do is live your life for God. That's the best thing to do is Jesus. Because without that, telling people who Jesus is, who he is. My wife told me to stay on Facebook for another. One of my little cousins who lives up the road, goes to a church not like ours, called the church, she got saved this morning. I hope and pray that she really did. What are you talking about, brother? Because the church is not like us. They don't teach salvation like we do. You see, it's one of the places where in certain days, before you left the room, they tell you it's not enough to be lost or not. That ain't right.
Amen.
There's not an age limit on being lost, is there? You go ask my sister-in-law in Harmony, she's 6. Oh, that's too young. Not when God says you're lost. But what is your life tonight? And I guess the end in here, I want to go to Galatians chapter 6. You say, well, how does it fall into all this? It falls into it very well. I didn't know how it was going to fall into it either, but the Lord just knows how to put things together. But in the 6th chapter of Galatians, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That's what I was talking about a few minutes ago. Don't be talking about a brother and sister over here that falls flat on their face because of sin. Because just a few minutes later, you'd be in the same condition. All of us is not above temptation. There was only one that was ever above temptation. But it says, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. In other words, you see a brother or sister is down, hey, it means you're getting over and help lift them up. Because if you kick a brother or sister while they're down, how much longer are they going to stay down? You see, we need all of our brothers and sisters, even though they may not be here tonight, and even though they may not be in our own churches tonight, we need them. No matter who they are, we need them. But it says, hear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own works, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. We got to have faith. We got to keep faith in God. For every man shall bear his own burden. I believe it's up to us as individuals to bear our own burden as far as we can take it. As far as the Lord will allow us to bear what he needs of us, ask the other brothers and sisters to help us with that burden. But we first must make an effort with that. But it says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Going back to Peter, I believe he reaped very well. Because when you live for Christ, and you sow seed, and then you water the seed, you reap what you sow. Same way in this life. You live for God, live close to God, and follow after Him, and God's not asking you to be perfect because God knows we're not going to be perfect. But the Bible does teach us to strive to be Christ-like, to put on the mind of Christ. We put on the mind of Christ, the devil's going to be upset, the devil's going to fight, and the devil's going to try. But the longer you hold on to God, what's the Bible say? Draw nine to me, and I will draw a nine to you. And it also says a little bit after that that the devil will flee. The devil knows he's defeated already. He knows he can't get your soul, but if he can get your joy, he's going to try. But it says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We all know that if we've been saved by the grace of God tonight, that we have eternal life. But that don't mean we can stop right there. The Lord saved us to be more than a minister.
Amen.
And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Not be weary in well-doing. I know a lot of times, I don't know, brother, I'm friends with Brother Ron, probably do the same thing, but if being a young minister coming up and seeing and you're going and you're preaching and you're doing everything God wants you to do, but yeah, you're not seeing nothing. Then you start to get down and the devil uses that against you. And I believe it could be the same way with the child of God. And the devil can come in there and use that and say, well, you're not doing good enough. You need to do a little more. How about just going home because nobody needs you? But then what happens?
Lord, throw that little explosion on me. And you get to cheer people about being saved. Because why? Because you follow the Lord. And that's it. It's because you follow the Lord.
That's why it's so important to follow the Lord. You see, I've learned these things growing up, and I know I'm sure all of you already know it. But it's always a helpful reminder. Lean on the Lord. Proverbs 3 says, lean not unto thy own understanding. Lean on to your own understanding, you're going to fall in a ditch. Say you've lost life, you're going to fall. But with God's understanding and God's help, you'll be all right. It says, if we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a first show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And this was unto the Galatians written from Rome. When the Lord saved our soul, we become a new creature. The Bible also teaches us that as a child we've done childish things, but when we grew old, we put the childish things away. Now, as a child of God, I believe we should grow in the Spirit of God, and I believe we should grow in sanctification and justice. And of course, we all know that we're just the only right reason we're justified is through the blood of Jesus Christ. But we also know that sanctification is a daily process and a daily thing that we should strive for each day. That's something that I try to strive for each day, something I try to strive for. It's letting my light so shine among the world so men can see it. I want my light to shine. Not that anybody thinks that I'm anything, because I'm nothing tonight. I'm nothing but a sinner saved by the grace of God, called out to carry His Word. And the only thing that I can do is anything that the Lord will allow me to do. If the Lord don't allow me to do it, then I can't do it. As far as preaching, I'm dumb as a box of rocks. I couldn't get up here and do this on my own if I tried. I tried it one time. I figured it out real quick. Without the Lord, it's not going to work. But what is your life tonight? And the only way you can figure that out is look in the mirror. With the Lord's help, I preached my uncle's funeral a couple years ago now. But you see, he preached his own funeral. The example that he laid out before me, that was the example that I needed.
That was the example that a lot of people needed. What example was that? No matter how tired he was, no matter how sick he was, it didn't matter. He was at Waffle House at 11, 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, singing and telling people about God, getting up and going to work the next day, and then doing the same thing all over again. That was his example of showing the world how much Jesus loves you. That was what he had to do for our Lord and Savior. That was his one thing. The whole thing under that thought is lean on the Lord. Follow after the Lord. No matter how you feel, because the Lord's going to bless you in the end. What is your life tonight? And that's my message.
Appreciate the good word, appreciate the good advice, appreciate the wonderful sermon, appreciate you growing from the bottom of the summer. We commit to your own Lord and to be able to come and share us with us something that the Lord laid upon his heart. I think I told her about a few weeks ago that a lady I walked into the big warehouse, she walked up to me, she said, "I didn't know you as a preacher." I'm talking to myself. Oh no. What has my life shown to this woman? And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I hope I didn't disappoint you." She said, "Oh, no. I saw your testimony on my salvation.com, and I didn't know you were a preacher." And I said, that gave me a little relief. But you know, we all have a life that we have to live before the Lord. And if I'm guilty of anything, I hope that that's when I'll be found guilty when people walk up. They can relate me to something I've done for the Lord because he's done so much for me. I appreciate the word of God and all that to us. I hope you'll all apply to our lives. But stand and shake hands. The altar is always open here in the main church. Even while we're singing, if you need to come and pray, you just come and pray. But I'd like for us to come around here if you can. Appreciate the wonderful message that we brought to us tonight. And if you have anything you need to say or do, you just let the Lord lead you guys for it. Stand and pray. God being here. Anybody got a word or testimony or anything on their heart this evening?
Thanks for coming to pray for us tonight before we get saved. I appreciate that.
God bless you, Brother Terry. Appreciate you. Kind words. Anyone else?
Brother Ron, I understand why you're saying that. I know you could have got some stuff last night. Something messed up. I got up this morning. I'm on the time. I drove myself in here. God be blessing for being here. And I went home this afternoon. It's still not feeling good. And I sat there and prayed about 4:30.
Started out with men and women, more than love is done.
How was
Is it just
the main covering? Well, that's about the study we actually had about 4 to 5 minutes there.
Okay.
Most of the time, everybody's invited. That's why we announce it at church. So we're not trying to hide nothing. Everybody's there to join.
I'm
going to
make sure.
Hey, we all need it. Like that, y'all been prayer for us. We finally got a Holy Ghost this past week, so being prayer for us that we hold on to God while we're doing this process.
Amen.
Satan don't get in there and try to start us in trouble, because we know he will, but being prayer for us.
He's talking about the Holy Ghost, they lost the land. I mean, let's just remember what's happened here. They have so many children in their church, but they just don't have room for everybody. Cram past the children. So they've been needing to build a church for probably 10 years in my estimation. But the Lord has let them get the land right behind the church. The Lord has done the Holy, he's already said, they're getting ready to pour the foundation. And there's a group of people that are going to come in June and build the church in 11 days. 11 days. All they got to do is buy the church. From Alabama is coming in to do it. And now they've got a call to somebody that already volunteered to follow up with the drywall as well. So they got the plans, they know it at home, where they started. They'll tell me God where they live. Brother Josh, their pastor, God, and the guy on the phone, he said, "Oh, Mom, what do I need to do?" I said, "Just accept the blessing and go on with it, brother." That's what I told him to do. And so we've made a few calls, and that's what's going to happen. So it's happening, and I'm thrilled for them. And just pray for them to keep safe, and they'll get in there and tear it all apart. But he's angry about this one. There's no doubt about it. So I pray for them, and just want to share that good news with them. Anybody else have anything on your heart? Thank you for coming. Hope you have a wonderful week. And God just bless you and keep you. You said you was going to pray for us tonight? All right. You said he wanted to pray for us. So we're going to ask Kelsey if you would pray for us.
Dear Lord, thank you for the church. Thank you for the people came out. And thank you for my family. And thank you for you. May everything for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.